It is time once again for Appraise This. The Frickin' Frack of Nick and Nack are joining us here on Robinhood Radio. And we say good morning both to Tim and Greg. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning from snowy West Virginia.
So good morning from my new recording studio in our office.
It looks very impressive there, Greg. I mean, you got the lighting nice and everything.
Well, you're my idol.
And so the sound quality.
I had to imitate you.
And by the way, the sound quality is fantastic.
So, oh, wow. It's going to get even better.
Oh, there we go. For some
reason, you just muted yourself, Greg.
Somehow he muted.
He just muted himself.
All right, he's back. He's back.
There's a learning curve to all of this.
Yes,
there
is. And I'm 67, and I've been doing it since I've been 17, and I can tell you the learning curve never ends. Okay. Let us get to the topic at hand, whatever it might be between the two of you.
Well, Tim's in West Virginia doing an appraisal.
Yes, doing a big estate appraisal. And I'm in the middle of the state and, of course, in the middle of this snowstorm. So interesting, the woman who is the groundskeeper and the manager of the estate, she called me last night at 7 o'clock. She said, have you seen the news? And I said, yes. She said, what are you driving? I said, I made sure that I rented a Jeep Grand Cherokee, knowing full well that it was going to snow. So it's goes back to my Boy Scout days. Be prepared.
And that storm is going to go out to the south of us. So you got it.
you are exactly right. So
you're driving.
Grand Cherokee. Yeah. Well,
that's the Kodak moment. I need a photo.
It is. But it has all-wheel drive, so that's why I wanted to make sure, because I know how the snow can get, you know, especially up here in the mountains. But here, doing this estate appraisal, and interestingly, you know, we talk a lot about people that have things, and they wonder what it is that they have. So I had received, just right after the new year, photos through my email of a painting. And it was this painting that this woman described. Her husband took in somebody who was working, who was from China, but came to Florida to do an internship at a company, and bought this old car, opened the back, and there was in the tire well, there was this beautiful painting. So she concocted this entire story of there must have been this museum heist and all these paintings were stolen and they forgot this one. And she wanted to know, is this a valuable painting and what is this? And I had to burst her bubble, unfortunately, and say, no, it's was a local artist who did these works and showed her sent her a screenshot of several pieces that have sold at auction that were in the, you know, $50 to $200 price range. But when she responded back, she said, well, I really appreciate it. She said, I think we let our imaginations run away from ourselves, but maybe I should write a book. I said, you probably could. I said, that would be good. Because we hear about these things, and Greg and I have talked about these things in the past, about these museum heists. And of course, you hear about one and you think, oh, well, maybe this is one too. So,
a far more interesting story than just saying it came over on the Mayflower.
Well,
at least it's right. a little more creative.
But the point is that what I found interesting is this happens with most of the people that we're doing the appraisals for. When people want to find out what their items are worth, is that they have in their mind, they've already put together this, well, it has to be, well, this and what about this and that? And oh, all of these backstories, and some can be very creative. And this was probably the most creative one, the most creative bubble I've had to burst. I'll just say it like that.
Well, I have to say also that last night I was at a cocktail party for an opening of an event, and someone, we got to talking about what we do for a living, and the person says, "Oh my gosh, I bet you could write a book about some of the stories that you've been through or that you've witnessed or been part of." And I said, "Oh my God, how many volumes would you like? Because we have, if we would write down all of the things, the weird things that have happened to us, I think it could be a New York Times bestseller."
Well, we'd have to change the names. A lot of it, there's a lot of confidential information there.
Yeah, we would change the names to protect the stupid.
But there's lots of stupidity out there, and there's some accidental stupidity, but then there's some ingrained stupidity. It's the ingrained stupidity that really gets to you. Anybody can make a stupid mistake.
Yes. No, or be creative.
Yeah.
And they could be creative, and they're hoping. That's wonderful. It's when they we're working on another brokerage thing, and they just say, "No, it has to be this because I believe it has to be this. It's this valuable, so I won't accept less than this." It's like, well, guess what? You're not going to sell it then, because that isn't where the market is. And it's that kind of thing. It's when, especially when you show, here's all the data points that are pointing toward this is the value right here at, let's say, you know, whatever number, $1,000. Oh, no, I definitely want $7,000. I can't do anything for less. And then it's like, okay, keep it.
But the interesting thing about creating a backstory, and for people that don't understand what a backstory is, if you ever watch TV and you see Peyton Manning doing his insurance commercials, they've got a new one where he's built Peytonville, and he introduces the country singer to it, and the country singer looks at it and says, yeah. And then all of a sudden, Peyton Manning starts talking about people within this big village that he's built. And he says to him, "You've even got a backstory for this?" And he goes, "Of course, for everybody." Nowadays, I think having a backstory—if you have—if you know even the slightest about antiques—can really put people in bad positions. Because if you're very good, if you're a flimflam artist, and you're very good at coming up and telling a backstory, it's then up to the person who's going to buy it that's got to really investigate and do their due diligence.
Most definitely. And it's funny that you bring that up, because there was one other one. One of the students from one of my appraisal classes contacted me with a chair that she says was from the Vatican. It was sold at the Vatican flea market. Apparently, the Vatican just holds a flea market for some of their furniture or something. No, whatever.
The Pope has nothing better to do on the weekend.
I think
to hold a flea market, right? All the Monsignors were out there, you know, peddling their pews. So I don't know. But she said that the woman was told that this is from the Vatican and this is da-da-da-da-da-da. And I told her, I said, you know, I learned this very early on, especially in my career, is that stories are wonderful, they're creative, that's great. But without evidence, it's just a great story.
Well, also,
so no matter what it is, it's like, okay, it's a Gothic chair. Here it is. It's Victorian Gothic. It's $100. That's it.
And what's interesting about that is it could be somebody who lives – around the Vatican, and they had
and they got it at a flea market,
and they got it at a flea market. That's a bingo. I mean, that's so. I mean, that's a real important thing about backstories. Do your due diligence, because otherwise,
I like your version of the backstory better, Tim. I think it's funnier.
Well, I could see the Pope at the yard sale. Someone grabs for a piece of merchandise that they try to take it, and he's going to slap their hands.
And he smacks their hand. Yeah.
Well, he's the main cashier. I mean, he's the big daddy, so that's who you have to go to. He's the big negotiator.
Yeah, you know, collections at the Vatican are down, so that's why they started doing these.
Oh yeah, they're selling there, and you know, and it's not just that. A couple of months ago, since we're on this topic, another auctioneer friend of mine who has an auction company up in Wisconsin sent me the what they claim to be the big wooden doors from the Vatican, like these huge, huge doors. And this woman was trying to sell them, and she had all of this somewhat sketchy paperwork, but it was all copies of copies. Well, that's a big red flag right there. But she said these doors, they again, they were sold from the Vatican and all this, and when they were renovating. Well, come on. And I told him, I said, take no offense to this. If that were real, why didn't she go to a larger auction house? What happens is that the scammers, they try to go to smaller auction houses and, very small auction houses and say, these are worth millions of dollars and I want you to try to sell it. And they try to just get it out there. And so you have to be very careful with all of these stories. I just thought, there's no way.
It's funny when you say backstories. Back when this radio station first started, it was purchased by two people, Stan Grell and Ira Levy. And they totally redid the building. And when they decided to paint the building a certain color, they told the Historic District Commission that they had found a chip of paint that was that color. Now, this building might have been this color or something like it, but these guys didn't find the chip of paint. There was no chip of paint. They just liked the color, and they picked the color. The second thing was the front doors. They replaced the front doors. And it's in a historic district now, right? So what did they say? They said, oh, we found these front doors down in the cellar. And these front doors weren't found in the cellar. I'm sitting there now. This is like, 30 years ago? So I'm sitting there as like a 30-some-year-old adult saying, man, these guys are good at this because everybody fell for it.
You got to sell it. It's all about selling it.
The backstory is the most important thing about any object. It really is, especially in your business, I would think. So,
well, you know, that's where I was just going to mention that. That's where provenance comes in. And if this stuff is just based on fairy tales, any auction house worth its weight will want to question that right from the get-go. Because provenance is key when it comes to selling high-ticket items. And no auction house is going to take the word of somebody who says, I just got this at the Vatican flea market.
Oh, amazing. Like I said, I think it's a, there was even a Seinfeld episode where George purchased a car from some famous author, and the guy sold.
Oh, I saw that.
And it wasn't. Of course, the author's name was spelled wrong. It was of the same name, but once again, the provenance was not accurate. So.
Sure. Well, that's when we see the Picasso pieces, I say, well, that's Pee-wee Picasso. That's not Pablo.
That's right. These are all eBay sales we're talking about here.
Yes.
Nice picture outside looking at that snow, Tim.
Yes, that is what I get to go out in just in a little bit. Well, just wanted to give you a visual. Sorry.
All right. Well, have fun there. And Greg, your studio also looks great and sounds great. And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Hey, great. Next time you speak to me, I will be up to par.
Okay.
and one of our big announcements that we made that we said that we would make last week was that we're getting a puppy.
That's right. And when's the puppy arriving?
January 25th.
All right. Yes, her name is Sienna.
Sienna.
And it'll be a Cocker Spaniel.
Well, give a big hug when you get Sienna in there for us.
Definitely will.
All right, take care, guys. Take care.
Hey, have a good week.
All right, bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack here on Robin Hood Radio and robinhoodradio.com. You can find them, of course, at tqag.com on the web.